Okay, this morning's scripture comes from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. And it reads, "But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God."
Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Wonderful. We continue on this season of Eastertide. It's a season that the church experiences where they celebrate the risen Christ. Sometimes people wonder, this season of Eastertide, it lasts 40 days long between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension of Jesus Christ. And some might wonder then, why does this season take 40 days? Why did Jesus not just resurrect and then ascend right away? Wouldn't have that been the most wonderful thing to see happen? But no, Jesus spent 40 days still on earth after his resurrection, being with the disciples, showing the disciples many important things. And we're going to discuss that over the next sermon series. But first, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that these words reflect your will, that you hear the reflections and know the reflections we have in our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our Redeemer, our Sustainer, and our loving Creator. Amen. So this morning's scripture passage is a famous one that everyone knows about. It's about Doubting Thomas. He's called the Doubting Thomas, the Doubting Disciple. Some people say that Thomas might get a bad reputation based on this one action that he did. Centuries later, we say, "Oh, don't be a Doubting Thomas," when we know someone is not showing faith. Think about poor Thomas and the history he now has as a doubting disciple. We know that the other 10 disciples first saw Jesus when he appeared to them in the room and said, "Peace be with you," to the disciples. But we also know that Thomas was not present during that wonderful time. So it's interesting to see that Thomas's reaction when he is told by the other disciples that Jesus has appeared after his death is truthful. It's very human. Yes, he did doubt as well. So we think about this morning's scripture passage and what is happening, but also maybe put ourselves in the shoes of Thomas and what he is experiencing. We know that Thomas was with Jesus from the very beginning of his ministry. Jesus was calling all the disciples, and he called specifically Thomas amongst the disciples to do all the ministry that he had with him. But we also know that Thomas also doubted Jesus when the wonderful news that Jesus had returned and been present among the disciples happened. So we see Thomas and his life and his ministry with Jesus during the times that Jesus was alive. We know that Thomas was with Jesus when he fed 5,000 people. We know that Thomas was with Jesus when he healed the lepers, when he taught in the synagogues. We know that Thomas was with Jesus when Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem. All these wonderful things that Thomas experienced as being a part of Jesus' ministry with Jesus as a disciple. We also know that Thomas was the disciple that when Jesus and the other disciples first heard about Lazarus, their dear friend, dying, Thomas was the one who said in John 11, verse 16, he says to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Thomas was saying the symbolic act of faith to be in fellowship with their brother Lazarus, who he knows has just died. It shows how faithful Thomas was. It was Thomas who said, "Let us go and be with Lazarus." And Jesus, we know, then followed and went to see Lazarus and also raised Lazarus from the dead. So we know that Thomas had such a strong and wonderful faith. He was present at the Last Supper when Jesus shared with the disciples what was to happen. Jesus spoke of his body, the bread that was to be broken. He spoke of the blood that was to be shed. He spoke of a new covenant that was to come out of his death. Thomas was present for that. Thomas was also present when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus' head was put with a crown of thorns on his head and he bled, when Jesus' hands were nailed to the cross, when his feet were nailed to this cross, when his spear was stabbed in the side of Jesus. Thomas was present for all this. So we know that Thomas also then mourned because he saw all this. He lost a dear friend. He lost his leader. He lost his brother. So we know the frame of mind that Thomas must have been in during this time after Jesus' death. So we must remember to think about Thomas and what he was experiencing during this time as well. So then when Jesus does first appear to the disciples, Thomas is not present in that room. There's no explanation of why Thomas was not present, but in a way we must think about how important it was that one disciple, Thomas, was not present. Because then Thomas becomes a lesson later on when he is told by the other disciples that Jesus was resurrected, present before the other disciples, passing the peace to them. But Thomas's reaction is very human when he hears this from the disciples. We know in this morning's scripture passage from John 20, verse 19 to 20, evening on the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked. But Jesus does appear and says, "Peace be with you." And he does show the disciples his hands and his side that had holes from when they had been pierced by the nails on the cross. And Thomas, the one who say was the twin, one of the 12, he says we know he was not with them when Jesus came. But the other disciples tell him right away that we have seen the Lord. But Thomas says to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in that mark where the nails in his hands were and by his side, I will not believe." Thomas is doubting, but he has a reason to doubt because he still is lacking in faith. We must learn from Thomas to not lack in faith, but we must instead trust our fellow believers, trust our own experience. I think Thomas forgot about the own experience he had in ministry with Jesus, and also just trust in the words, the knowledge that we have from Jesus Christ ourselves. Thomas forgot all those things, and he became instead more human-like and began to doubt. That is why we call him Doubting Thomas. But here is the wonderful and unique thing about this. We see Jesus' reaction to Doubting Thomas. We know in the scripture passage that a whole week has passed after the disciples tell Thomas of seeing Jesus, and Thomas doubting and saying, "No, I will not believe unless I actually put my finger by his side." But we know a whole week has passed and Thomas is again with the disciples, and again they're in a room where all the doors are shut. But Jesus comes in and stands among them and says again, "Peace be with you." And he says to Thomas specifically, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." But here is the wonderful thing about Jesus' reaction to the doubting of Thomas. Jesus did not scold Thomas. Jesus offered instead words of forgiveness, words of encouragement, saying, "Yes, put your finger here by my side, but you must believe. Reach out your hand. Do not doubt and believe." Jesus does this wonderful thing. He does not judge Thomas. He does not scold him. He gives him forgiveness. He gives him love. Jesus is showing that Jesus died on the cross so that we may receive forgiveness and love, that Thomas may receive forgiveness and love. Because think about up to then the disciples and the relationship they might have had with God. God to us and to the disciples is a parent. We are God's children. God is our parent. But now think about your own lives, whether you're currently a parent now to young children or growing up when you were a child and how your parent was to you. When you did something wrong or when your child does something wrong, what do you as a parent do, or what did your parents do to you? They usually punished you, right? Or admonished you or scolded you and said it was wrong. But you know they did it. Now hopefully you know, and children, listen to this. When your parents punish you or when they scold you, they do it out of love. because they know that you did wrong and they want you to learn to do right. Now, I must admit, I had an experience when I was young. I was about 6 years old, and we were in a Hello Kitty store, and my parents gave my sister and I $2 to spend on what we wanted. And I got a pencil and an eraser perfectly for my $2, and I was really excited and happy. And then we went to the checkout, and stores are so smart. Do you know what stores, they always put candy in front of the checkouts, or like little items, and a lot of them are eye level, like they're low, right? But for a child, it's eye level. So when we were checking out, I saw candy, Hello Kitty candy, like a sucker or something, and I remember asking my mom for it, and she said, well, if you want the sucker, because you only have $2, you have to put your pencil or your eraser away. No, I didn't want that. So while my mom was paying for my pencil and eraser with the $2 I had earned for allowance, I stole some candy. Yes. Don't tell the Board of Ordained Ministry that. And then this, of course, is not very smart of me. So as soon as we get into the car, I take out the sucker and I start eating the sucker. And my mom looks at me and says, Eva, where did you get that? And I said, I took it. Yes. And my mom, the parent, scolded me. I remember her being so upset. It was the first time I think I can clearly remember my parent being really upset at me. She not only scolded me, but she punished me by making me go back to the store, give the candy to the store owner, tell the store owner what I did, and give back my pencil and eraser that they had just bought for me. It was a strict punishment, but I know now why she did it. But parents do that. When a child does something wrong, they punish them, they scold them, they don't offer forgiveness. But here, Jesus was doing this amazing thing. When Thomas did wrong, Jesus' reaction wasn't to punish, wasn't to scold, but instead to offer forgiveness and words of encouragement. For that is the lesson of resurrection. From Jesus, we get love, forgiveness, encouragement from God. We get new grace and we get mercy. We have new life. And that is the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach, especially as he appears to Thomas and to the disciple and say, put your hand to me and do not doubt, but believe instead. So we know Thomas answers him in the most perfect way. Thomas then says, my Lord and my God. That is the great sentence, my Lord and my God. Theologians say it's so important that Thomas said, my Lord and my God, because Thomas is using that possessive word my to show that he understands it is truly Jesus, his Lord and his God before him. And we today must remember that Jesus is our Lord and our God, that we have a personal relationship. Thomas is saying to Jesus, you are my Lord and my God, remembering the personal relationship that Thomas had with Jesus. We ourselves today must know that each individual has a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our own individual experience and relationship with Jesus Christ. My relationship with Jesus is not the same as Al's relationship with Jesus, and Al's relationship with Jesus isn't the same as Phoebe's, and Phoebe's isn't the same as Ronald's, and Ronald's isn't the same as Sean's, and Sean's isn't the same as Ryan, my brother-in-law, and Ryan's is the same as Andy, and Andy's is the same as Kay or Jenny, and so on and so on. We all have our own experience, and Jesus is our own Lord and our own God. But we also must remember that we are in a fellowship of believers with each other. And I think that is something that Thomas forgot that day, that he was with other disciples. So when the other disciples tried to tell him about Jesus appearing, he doubted at first. He forgot that he was with a group of fellow believers. We must remember that as well, and not to be like Thomas, and not to doubt, and not to have lack of faith then. Because Jesus then answers Thomas, well, Thomas, now that you say, my Lord and my God, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet have come to believe. Jesus is reminding that we must believe even when we don't see. We must trust on our fellow believers. We must trust the knowledge that we ourselves have in Gospels. And we must trust our own experience that we have with Jesus Christ. Everyone has their own experience, their own story of coming to faith. And they know that they must believe even though they have not yet seen. We know that Jesus will come again, but at this point we ourselves have never physically seen Jesus, but yet we do believe. There is a great quote by a Christian artist. His name is Mark Salem, and he says that a true mark of Christian faith is seeing without believing. We ourselves must show the true mark of Christian faith to see without believing. A story that I've told, that it's kind of a funny story in the past, you might remember this, but it's about that great magician, the great Houdini. And if you remember, there's a tightrope going across one side of a hill to the other side of the hill. And the great Houdini says to all the people that have gathered on the hillside to cheer him on as he's going to do his magic act, he says to them, "Do you believe I can walk across this tightrope?" And they all answer, "Yes, we believe in you, you can walk across this tightrope." So he does, he walks across the tightrope. And then from the other side, he says to all the followers and the fans that have gathered, "Now do you believe I can walk across this tightrope blindfolded?" And they say, "Yes, we believe you can do this, we believe in you." So he does, he walks across the tightrope blindfolded. And then he says, "Now do you believe I can walk across the tightrope blindfolded with a wheelbarrow in front of me?" And they all said, "Yes, we believe in you, you're so wonderful, we believe you can do it." And he does it. He walks across the tightrope blindfolded, holding a wheelbarrow in front of him. And then he says, "Now do you believe I can walk across the tightrope blindfolded with the wheelbarrow, with a stool on the wheelbarrow?" And again they shout cheerfully, "Yes, we believe, we know you can do it, we believe in you." And he does it. And then he says, "Now do you believe I can walk across the tightrope, be blindfolded with the wheelbarrow, with the stool, with someone sitting on the stool?" And again they cheer, "Yes, we believe you are so great, we believe you can do it." And he says, "Great, now who's going to sit on the stool when I walk across the tightrope?" And no one answers. They are fearful. They do not believe anymore when their own life is at stake. But we must know that faith is believing in the unseen. And our own lives, yes, are at stake. But when we believe, then our lives are saved. That is the wonderful thing about Jesus and the resurrection. To have such strong belief that you know that our lives are saved. Because we believe our fellow believers. We trust the knowledge that we have ourselves in the Gospels, the Word of God, and we trust our own experience that we have with Jesus Christ. There's this great, wonderful saying that Jesus says to the leaders of the synagogue in Mark 5, verse 36. When the leaders of the synagogue are challenging Jesus and questioning him, his only answer to them in Mark 5, verse 36, his only answer says, "Do not fear, only believe." Jesus shuts down the questions and the doubt and the answers, the questioning from the other leaders when he says, "Do not fear, only believe." For that is what we are called to do as well, to not fear and to only believe. To trust our fellow believers, to know our own knowledge that we have in the Gospels and the Word of God, and to trust our own experience. So then, like doubting Thomas, when he must have his own experience with Jesus Christ to then become a believer who has seen and also believes, we must remember our own experiences as well. I close with a short story about a wonderful story of a believer I heard on Easter Sunday. At the Easter sunrise service at Shepherd of the Hills with Reverend Mamie Coe, she invited a fellow Spanish pastor that does work with another church. And this Spanish pastor, he spoke about his own experience with Christ, for he used to be a gang member. And if you look at him, he has kind of a tough look to him, and he says, he admits that he usually wears long sleeve shirts because he has arms full of tattoos, and he even had like on the side a tattoo on his neck that was quite interesting. But this pastor shared that he used to be in a gang, actually one of the leaders in a big gang in L.A., and he shared at a point he was left alone by his fellow gang members and in Elysian Park not too far from here. And at the park, other rival gang members had jumped him. They stabbed him, they hit him, they beat him up, they left him for dead. He says they even took his broken and stabbed body and tried to throw it over, I guess there's near a 5-freeway underpass, to leave his body there. And he says he remembers just lying in that ditch bleeding, and he heard the ambulance coming by, but because he was in a low ditch, he was afraid that the ambulance and the paramedics would never see him or get to him. And he says at that point he thought about God and he thought about his relationship. And he says that later when he was in the ambulance and still thinking he was going to die, he thought about Christ. And it was the first time in a long time, he says, that he thought about Christ. But he was having an experience with Christ. And he is now such a wonderful and faithful leader in his church because of that one experience. We all have our own personal experience. Thomas had his own personal experience. And yes, he doubted, but he also came to believe. And that is what we must do, to have our own experiences with Christ, our own personal experiences, to trust in our knowledge that we have in the Gospels, to believe and follow with our fellow believers as well, and to know that the Christ was resurrected, risen for us. He is risen indeed. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we have heard your word through this message and heard the words of the gospel and seen how faith can be lived through Thomas, the doubting disciple. Well, we know that doubt can turn into belief, and we know that we sometimes do not see but yet must still believe. To understand that a true mark of a Christian is to believe without seeing. To know that your love was made available to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for us, but yet we know that this great thing was not to scold us or not to punish us, but to offer us love, to offer us forgiveness, and to offer us encouragement as we live today as your faithful disciples. In your Son's name, amen.